I've been looking forward to this interview now for a few weeks. And so I'm really excited to introduce you to somebody that I'm just meeting right now. But I started reading about her and hearing about her a few weeks ago. When I was interviewing another guest for this summit, they were talking about, and she was an energy healer, but she was talking about how she turned her life around from almost being destitute to really finding her purpose. And one of the things that she said she did was she started going into her Akashic records. And so we talked about it in that interview with a lady by the name of Bobby Vogel. And I thought, okay, there's a book that you can read that has your records in it of everything, you know, like, where is this? I've never heard of it before. And I made a note, I wrote down Akashic records. And afterwards, I know a lot of things I thought, but I'd never heard of this. And so I went and I started Googling it. And I said, oh, okay, wow. It's not a written book, but it's information that you can access that's out there. And I said, all right, well, who's the best at teaching people to do this or helping people this? And the name that kept coming up was Linda Howe, who I'm really excited to introduce to you today. She wrote a book back in 2009 called How to Read the Akashic Records. And that is, even today, 12 years later, the gold standard for how to do it. And she just came out with a new book this year, which is Inspired Manifesting: Elevate Your Energy and Ignite Your Dreams to the Akashic Records. So that's really cool too. Linda, I'm excited to, I'm reading your book right now, your first book, and I've had some success, but I'm very novice and tapping into my Akashic Records. So I know everybody's gonna enjoy this. I'm gonna enjoy this. So welcome to our Global Energy Healing Summit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really pleased to be here.
Yeah. So let's jump into the Akashic Records. But before we do that, like, how did you discover it? Like I told you, I discovered it by hearing someone else talk about it. Where did you first hear about the Akashic Records?
Well, listen, you can tell by my accent. I'm from Chicago. I'm from the Midwest.
That's where they talk about Akashic Records every day.
What is this Akashic? Who ever heard of such a thing? You know, where I'm from, we don't use words like that, right?
Right.
So, but, through a series of, events in my life, when I was 24, I had a life-changing moment of spiritual awareness. And in that moment, I felt completely like known, almost like transparent, like life could see into me, right? Wow. Completely known, completely loved and appreciated, all those good things, and a part of the whole of creation. Mm. Now, I have to tell you, nothing in my life prepared me for that. I'm from a part of the world where, if you're going to be happy, you have to earn it.
Right.
That's what I figured out, right? Yeah. So I worked very hard, and imagine my distress when I did everything that I thought was right and I wasn't happy. But anyway, yeah. But it led to this. So I have this moment. I have no idea what it is, what it means. All I know is I thought, whatever the heck this is, I must have it in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 24 and the search was on. And I did everything, right? I mean, you're doing this summit. You know, there's a million people doing a million fabulous things,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I tried as many as I could. So I went from 24 to 40, really doing my very best to try and recreate that experience.
Right.
And everything was wonderful, but nothing was it.
Mm.
Until someone said Akashic Record.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whatever that is, you know. Anyway, so I went to this class with a teacher who I thought was really like very esoteric and odd, but I didn't care. I did what she said, mm-hmm. and I followed the directions and I opened my records.
Mm.
And when that happened, I had an experience that was shockingly similar to the experience I had when I was 24.
Yeah.
And I thought, whatever this is, I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it meant. I knew nothing. I just knew whatever it was, I was going to keep exploring it until it dried up. Mm-hmm. Now, originally, I thought, well, this will probably, you know, this will probably last 2 or 3 months, and then I'll move on, right? Mm-hmm. Like I had with so many other things.
Right.
Well, lo and behold, that was in 1994. Mm-hmm. It is now, what is it, August of 21. I don't know. I used to be blonde. I don't know what happened. But you know, and so it has turned out to be really like the central governing, like, not, it's not just a theme, but it's like a guide, the guiding light of my life.
Yeah.
Wow. And you know, I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I really had no idea what I was saying, but that's all right. It's good not to have any idea because I had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And working in the record responded to my questions.
Nice. Well, yeah. not only did you help yourself, but you've helped thousands upon thousands of people go into their records. So we hear the records, like, explain to people, what are the Akashic records?
Okay. So first of all, Akasha is a Sanskrit word, right? And what it means is primary substance, mm-hmm. that from which all things are formed.
Okay.
So we're talking really about the raw essence of life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what Akasha is. All right. The Akashic record is a vibrational archive of every soul and its journey as human. Mm. Now, because it's vibrational, that means it's invisible. We never see it. You know, you don't see it with your human eye. You don't see it with your strong eye.
Right.
Okay, there is no, you know, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, there's going to be like a big golden book and somebody will open it to page, you know, 37 and there I'll be. No, it's vibrational. Now, the thing about vibration, and you know this, is that even though we don't see it, we can always sense it,
mm-hmm.
not through phenomena, but through our emotion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's vibrational. It's available to everyone. It's a vibrational archive. So it's a collection. It's like a treasury and everybody is in it.
Ah.
So even
everybody who's ever lived is in it.
Everybody who has ever lived is in the record.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is we, what makes up the record is this collection of all human beings. Okay. So mm-hmm. if you and I decide we don't like somebody and we want to boot them out, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is nobody can erase us either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's a two-way street. So yeah. That's how that goes. Everybody's in, and that's what makes up the record. Okay. And it's about the soul's journey as human. So if, you know, sometimes people are like, well, what about a lifetime? I was on another, you know, I was in another galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
The record doesn't say yes or no. The record has no opinion,
mm-hmm.
but the record does not hold that information. Mm-hmm. It is specific to Earth.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And there are other people who will say things like, well, in a past life, I was, you know, I don't know, whatever I was, an elk, right?
Yeah.
And this time I'm a person, and if I don't behave myself, I'll be a cockroach.
Okay.
Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't know. The record does not have that information, though, you see. Okay. It's only about the soul as human.
Okay, interesting. Okay?
And just, there's one more thing I think is really important. There's two parts to every set of records.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's the permanent, and that's, you know, it's from the inception of the soul,
mm-hmm.
throughout time. Mm-hmm. It's like the impression. It's mm-hmm. your potential. It's who you are destined to become. And okay. it's almost like a divine impression woven into the fabric of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good thing, right? We like this. It's, yes. And it's who you will become. And what travels along with that is the evolving or the changing, growing, morphing part of the record. And this is fascinating because it's like the chronicles of you, right? Mm. It's the collection of the lifetimes you live through which you awaken to who you are. And you live that while you're here on earth. So that's like, generally speaking, that's how it all works or yeah. what it is.
Okay, cool. So that makes sense. So how can people, what information can they get from this that is helpful in their current existence? What types of things can people look for and get answers for?
Okay. So when we work in the record, the principle is energy first, information second.
Okay.
You know, from the internet, information is great. Doesn't always go far enough.
Right.
Let's just say that. Okay. So we love information, but we know there's more. When we work in the record, it's the energy first, and it's, so what is that sense? It's a spiritual resource. So it's a sacred space, right? It's a space of sanctuary or reverence, predominantly characterized by the emotional safety. Because for human beings, the way we transform is when we experience being safe. Yeah. So we go into our records. There is this sense of being respected, understood, like that. So it's this space of unconditional regard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so once we settle into that sense of being appreciated and understood, right? Like life is really on our side, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Then what starts to happen is that all the treasures in the soul, you know, you've been living many, many lifetimes, and all that you've been learning and accumulating and understanding, all that is stored within your soul. Mm-hmm. And the safer you feel, it's the best way I can explain it, the easier it is for the truths that are embedded within you to emerge.
Okay, cool.
So a lot depends on what do you know, the law of the universe says that which you seek, you will find, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea is, what are your questions? And when we work in the record doesn't just dump itself on our heads, because it's not useful.
Right?
What is useful is I go into the record with questions. And I know, you know, I have a son who's now, he's going to be 28. I don't know how that happened, but it did. Anyway, but the thing about it is that in raising him, I would go in to the records and ask. First, my original questions were like, what's wrong with him? And they would say, well, nothing. You know, he's four. You know what I mean? Like, that's what 8-year-old boys do, you know? So, but the other thing is this, the record always invites us to take a look at our part in our relationships, mm-hmm. our participation, our contribution. What am I doing? Who am I being? And what happens working in the record is we have a chance to actually begin to understand ourselves, our motivations, the motivations of others. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about information, right? It's about having the insight, the guidance, and the wisdom that we can apply to cause the shifts that we seek. Okay. So what started out in my parenting journey is, what's wrong with this kid? Right. Turned out to be, how do I discipline this kid without snuffing out his spirit?
Right.
See, what starts to happen, but I didn't start out there.
You got answers on that.
And then I got answers. Well, yeah. Now that's a question we can, and then the guidance would be, you know, whatever was appropriate for the time.
Right.
You know, and that's just, so we begin to see our part in everything we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so the record is not about, you know, fixing and changing other people. It's about becoming who, it's becoming our highest potential. Right. While we're still in human form, which is, well, you know, I mean, the idea is, oh, we'll be out of these bodies and we'll be like, ah, you know, living in the light. But in the meantime, like, how do we do that? And yeah. That's what we get in the record.
Yeah. Awesome. And what I think in your book or somewhere I read, one of the most famous healers in the 20th century was Edgar Cayce.
Edgar!
Yeah, who was accessing, for many of his healings, he was accessing Akashic Records.
Yes.
So talk about healing and the Akashic okay. Records. How can people who are struggling either with mental conditions or physical conditions, what kind of information can they glean that will help them heal?
Okay. So first, we'll talk about that in one second, but I do want to yeah. say this about Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce was brilliant because he popularized the understanding of the Akashic Record here in the West,
mm-hmm.
right? The problem was, it's not a problem, I mean, he was a man of his time, right? Is that Edgar Cayce was the only one. It was very exclusive. And he wasn't quite sure what he was doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that tells us a lot. Whereas about the state of the union of the record in the middle of the last century, whereas now anybody with a sincere desire to have a more conscious connection with their soul can connect with their record.
Yeah, you don't have to go to an Edgar Cayce.
You don't have to go to Cayce. You can
or
do
Linda
it.
Linda Howe, even.
Yeah, right. You don't even have to come to me, you know? Yeah. Anyway, but that's right. You can learn how to do this for yourself, yeah. which is thrilling. Okay. Now, what was that question about healing?
Well, so what kind of information around healing can you get from the records? Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing. The first idea, the Akashic Record is governed by three absolutes: fear not, judge not, resist not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if someone has an ailment, okay, of any kind, you know, whether it's a broken leg or a broken heart, right? It's mm-hmm. all about the same. Let's face yeah. it; it's all terrible. But the record, from a record standpoint, we don't judge it. We don't say, oh, this is terrible. It is what it is. A broken leg is a broken leg, yeah. right? This is part of the experience. So the first thing is we want to relinquish our judgment, because what negative judgment, what holds our distress in place are the negative opinions we have about ourselves for having them.
Right.
Right. We get mad at ourselves. Oh, I shouldn't have cancer. I shouldn't have a heart condition, whatever it is. It's like, well, as human beings, everyone dies at some point. It's not a moral issue and it's not a contest, right? Nobody's going to beat the dealer here, right? So the question is, how do we continue? First of all, how do I love myself even though mm-hmm. I have these challenges?
Yeah.
Okay. Then how do I let myself participate in life even though I'm not perfect?
Mm.
So the idea, because see what happens when we move into acceptance, okay? That doesn't mean we like it. I don't say, oh my God, I have Parkinson's, I'm thrilled. No, you know, it's not such a great thing, but it's the reality. And the sooner I get on board, the easier life is, mm-hmm. right? Because negative interpretations keep us stuck, whereas acceptance ignites release. Sometimes people are relieved of distress, emotional, mental, physical, right? Sometimes, mm-hmm. but sometimes they're not.
Okay.
Sometimes the purpose, the soul comes in and says, last lifetime I was an Olympian. This lifetime I have, you know, whatever, a bad leg.
Mm-hmm.
Can I love myself even though I have a physical challenge?
Yeah.
Can I let myself, you know, we look at someone like Stephen Hawking, You know, somebody else would have said, well, the hell with it. I'm not even going to play.
Yeah.
This guy was drooling, and yet he came up with the greatest ideas we've, you know, that any of us could even, you know, consider. Sure. He brought them to our attention, and yet he had a lot of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's the game, yeah. Right? Can I allow myself? Can I live with the fact that as a soul, I am perfect, eternal, immortal, unlimited? That is all true. What is also true is it is as a human being, there's an expiration date on the unit.
Right.
Okay. And it's not, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the record, like in my own work in the record, my second book is Healing Through the Akashic Records, mm-hmm. right? So interesting to me, because in my own journey, I was like, you know, wait a minute, something's wrong. See, the first book I had the method. I thought, hot dog, I'm done. No. Then what happened is, you know, I've got, my father was dying, my son is growing up, and I'm yelling at everyone. And I don't want to be, right? I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be, you know, I think of myself as spiritual, but I keep falling short.
Right.
And I would go into the records. Tom, it was crazy. I'd go into the records. I'd be like, I need help. This is terrible. And the records would be like, it's okay. And I thought, this is, something is really wrong here. But what emerged after a couple of years was that I really became aware that I was being led into an experience of unconditional self-love.
Huh.
Like, could I cut myself a break? Because berating myself was not causing the change.
Yeah.
Right? There was a change I wanted. I was not living up to my own standards and expectations. And the old idea of these like wounds, limitations, or are that, you know, this is evidence that we're not evolved, we're unenlightened. You know, here in the West, we call it, we're sinners. I mean, it's like, oh my God, this is bad. But from a record standpoint, that's just not the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's any you know, vulnerabilities that we have like that, that are like that, are an opportunity to really learn how to be kind and honorable with ourselves, as opposed to using our wounds as weapons.
Yeah.
So there's, it's a complete change. And the other thing that was, that really blew my mind, you know, I came up in the spiritual world of the 80s and 90s and, you know, whatever that lasts, the first 10 years of the century. Anyway, and I had the idea that if I were spiritual, I can bombard anything with light and change it.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned in the records are a spiritual resource.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual, it means love. Mm-hmm. So it's a dimension of a loving consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And to learn how to recognize and identify ourselves and our challenges from that point of view, right, rather than trying to bombard them with superstitious ideas, do you see, which, yeah, I tried, but that didn't help.
Yeah.
So this actually caused, and you know, nobody's been more surprised than myself, because I thought, well, this is a bunch of hooey, and then I've done it, and it actually makes a world of difference.
Yeah. Very cool. So if somebody is struggling with something like an illness, they can go to the Akashic Records, and sometimes they will get information that allows them to heal. Sometimes they'll get information that will allow them just to be aware that this is maybe something that is helping them to grow or helping them become more loving or whatever else it might be, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We begin to glimpse ourselves and our frailties through this lens, right, of unconditional love and respect. Mm-hmm. And so what looks like, oh my God, this is terrible, it might be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But actually, maybe in this lifetime, maybe, I don't know, it's different for everybody. Sure. Maybe the point is to see, you know, can I still be loving and generous with people, even though my back hurts,
right?
Do you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And a lot depends so much on what we're here to do, the challenges we face, do you know, but it's to really, the first thing that has to go is the judgment.
Yeah. And right? I think part of that is too, everybody has kind of their role models of success and what that looks like. And everybody thinks that their life is supposed to be like that, not knowing that that person that you think is so successful had lots of challenges that you would never want, like an Oprah Winfrey. I mean, people are like, I would love to be Oprah. Okay, really? Like when she was pregnant at age 13 and kicked out of her house, you'd want to be her then. And, you know, just all these different things that people don't know about or they don't realize. And so everybody has a unique life, is what you're saying, that is special and unique to them. And so it's not a contest. It's not like, okay, I'm better than you, I'm not as good as you, let's see who lives longer, you know, all these different things. It really is tapping into what is your unique purpose for this time you have in this body on this planet, and optimizing that and really being unconditionally loving, which is really, really cool. Hey, what is it like when you're in the records? Like, how do people, not just you, how do people receive this information? We already said it's not like a golden book, page 37.
Okay.
What is it like for people?
Okay, so here's the thing. What I teach this pathway prayer process, which is really, it's like crazy. It's a very simple prayer. Mm-hmm. And in the saying of the prayer, the practitioner, right, experiences a slight shift in their perceptions.
Okay.
So, you know, your eyes don't roll back in your head. You're not speaking with a fake accent. You know, there's none of that. Okay. And you're fully conscious. This is conscious, responsible, and deliberate. Like nobody can do this to you. I mean, you can get there yourself, but anyway, you get that. So, because it's about recognizing and really honoring the power within each individual soul, each individual being. Okay, so there's the saying of the prayer. And then what happens, there is moving, it's a subtle shift of awareness where there is a sense of being in a sanctuary, okay, of really being known, right? Recognized, appreciated, understood, like that. It's a place of quiet for many people. It's like tranquil and serene, like that. For others, it's much more enthusiastic, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how that is. Now, what's interesting is that when we work in the records, the words we use to describe our experience are very visual words. We say things like, I see that, or I, you know, like that. I see it, I glimpse that, I get that. But in fact, only 10% of the people who work in the record see images.
Yeah.
That's not many. So if we have 100 people, 10 of them will receive guidance through image. 5% will hear messages.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us, 85 out of 100, will have a sense of knowing, which is really, you know, this is a soft science. So, you know, it's not a hard science. So what happens is there's a sense of something,
right?
Okay? And the only way, the way energy moves in the record is on the formed word. So as I describe to you what it seems like, because I don't even know what it seems like, oh, you know, as I'm describing it, the energy moves.
Okay.
If I don't describe it, it's not like I can mentally send you a message, because that will not move the energy.
Sure.
The energy moves on the formed word.
And so when people are, so you can either have somebody work with you, like you or people you've trained,
right,
to go into your Akashic records, or you can, you, I know your pathway prayer, you make it available to everybody. And then obviously you've got books and classes. Mm-hmm. But the pathway prayer, you can, I think it's on your website, right?
Right, right. It's on the website. Sure, sure, sure. And if you
What's your website really quick, Linda?
Website,
what is your website?
LindaHowe.com.
Linda, H-O-W-E, Howe.com. You can get the pathway prayer there.
Right.
And so when you're doing it for yourself and you're accessing the records, a couple things. One is, I read in your book, it's better to ask how, what, why questions than just yes or no questions.
Right, right. Because this is not, this is a lousy source of fortune telling or divination. Yeah. It's terrible.
Because it's all based upon what's happened so far, right?
Well, and not only that, like those questions, like the yes, no, and when, time, like who cares about time in the records, right? We're talking about all time, past, present, and future.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And so time is... just doesn't, like when we move from an ordinary state of awareness into the record, so many of our ordinary organizational principles just collapse because they're like, whatever, because there's only, right, there's only now, which is a whole thing. But so I'm lost. I'm like, gone.
Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you was, so when you're doing it on your own, and you're accessing the records, you say the word, it moves energy. Do you suggest people write, or
writing just... I'll tell you what, there's some people actually like to make a recording.
A recording, okay.
Some people do that. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I like to write.
Okay.
Okay. And the thing is, when we work in our own record, it's really different than if I'm doing work in my own records, it's going to be different than if I'm in your records,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, there really is, there's a relational difference.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. So the record is not magic, right? So if I have a burning question, you know, should I move cross country, you know, by the end of the week? And I go into, I've never been in the record, and I'm like, tell me, I need to know now. The record, this is a spiritual resource.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, if you need that, get a pendulum. You know, there are other things you're going to get much better answers. Because see, the record is much more interested in, who do I have to be to make that move?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see? What issues in my life do I have to resolve if I want to make that move? And is this a move I want to make, or is it a move that my sister wants me to make?
Yeah.
Right? So we have the opportunity to really tell the truth about our own desires and motivations, right? So that's like the first thing. And then to look, so what does have to happen? Oh, I have to forgive my ex. Mm. Oh, I have to, you know, take care of whatever with my neighbor.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that have to happen in life. And the record doesn't care if I do them this afternoon or in 5 years or next life. Makes no difference to the records.
The record doesn't judge. No. And the other question too is, so there are these, we have these, a record of our existence, and even, we can find out why we came into this body.
Oh yeah.
In this existence.
Yes, yes, yes.
But at the same time, I think I read that we also have free will, right? So how do those two components reconcile? That,
okay,
you know, we came in here to kind of maybe go along this path, but we have free will. How does that all work?
Okay. So within every path,
mm-hmm.
okay, in between incarnations, we have an opportunity to make some big selections, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, next time I'm going to be Linda and I'm going to live in Chicago and like that, right? And won't that be fun? Yes, I guess so. Actually, it is fun. But anyway, all right. Within the context of that, there are certain choices available to me, right? I am 5'2". I will never be... I will never play for the NBA. right? It's just, okay, does it mean I was bad or anything? No, it just means in this lifetime, that's not on the menu.
Yeah.
Okay. So where we have the most choice is when we're selecting our identity and our family of origin, right? Mm-hmm. And then within that, within the scope of a lifetime, there are certain choices available to us. Okay. Now, the record doesn't care if I make the choice, I don't know, at 20 or 30, makes no difference, right? Because time doesn't matter. Yeah. So we have things like that. And yet, over the course of the entire soul's journey as human, we will have every choice available to us. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we can think of it, I know that when I got that concept, it really helped me a lot because I too was caught in that, well, what is this free will?
Right.
Right. And how does that work? And, you know, it's an interesting thing because in the record, it may be that I'm going to have a spiritual awakening while I'm on some tropical island. Okay. Mm-hmm. In my early 30s or something. Right. Now, the record, from a record standpoint, if I'm, you know, in the Bahamas or somewhere in the Mediterranean, really doesn't matter. Do you understand? I mean, if it's the condition on the island that's more important than the island itself.
Okay. Okay, cool.
And so that's really, you know, and sometimes people are like, oh, I need to move to New York City. Well, what if they end up in London or Paris? Mm-hmm. And they find out they're just thrilled to be there. And how come that is? They thought it was going to be New York. The fact is, it was really what the record is suggesting is a large urban area with an international, right, melting pot. That is, as opposed to, you know, Overland Park, Kansas.
Yeah.
Right. Experientially, very, very different.
Yeah, interesting. So, what about relationships and things like that? Are there people that you come in with that that you meet along the way that you're supposed to meet and bond with?
It's all rigged.
It's all rigged?
It's all rigged.
Yeah?
It's all rigged. Okay, first of all, your first soul group, right? A soul group is a group of individuals who share the same spiritual intentions, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Everyone's first soul group is the family of origin. Mm. Okay.
Explain family of origin. Really
family
quick.
Of origin, your parents, your siblings, the pod, the original group you came in with, right?
Yeah.
That's your family of origin. That's your first soul group. Now, a lot of people will say to me, oh, they're Neanderthals, blow them off, right?
They're nothing like me.
And that may be the case. Can you love yourself when you're with people who do not get you?
Yeah.
Can you treat yourself and others with respect? Can you let them be the way they are?
Right.
Right. These are the challenges. I mean, nobody comes here to change anybody else. I'm sorry to say. I mean, you know, I mean, we don't like it if somebody tries to change us and it's not fair to do to others. So that's the soul group, right? Okay. And over the course of our lives, depending on, you know, what we're doing, right, we will encounter people that really give us a chance, bring to the surface those unresolved issues within us that empower us to love ourselves more than ever before. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's, you know, so there are people that we've been traveling with over many lifetimes, right? In a variety of configurations of relationships. So yes, this is absolutely the case.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fascinating. Very, very cool. So how do people find you if they want to work with you, Linda? And what are the ways they can work with you?
Okay. Okay, first and foremost, the website, lindahowe.com. But if you go there, I mean, you can always find out all the different things that are happening, right? Yeah. So one of the things is I do work with people one-on-one where I open their records. Okay. So that's a possibility. Another possibility is, you know, I teach people, I train people. Part of my commitment is to provide outstanding training to anyone who's looking for it. Because, you know, like our predecessors certainly don't know how to connect with the records.
Right.
Our kids don't know, right? So it's like, wait a minute. So, but we are the ones. And so once we know how to do it, we'll know how to do it. Yeah. But everyone deserves to have really good. And
anybody that wants to can learn how to do it.
Anybody who wants to. And but you know what? Not everybody wants
to. No, not everybody wants to. Yeah.
I know. That's the key, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But people who really want to can, absolutely. Yeah. But it's not magic, right? It's not magic. You have to, it's a practice. You practice, you grow into it. Okay. So I teach a series of certification classes, right? Practitioner, advanced practitioner, healing, soul's path, and soul's purposes. So I've got a full range of classes that I teach online on demand. Everything's online right now, right? Online on demand. And then I also have people that I have trained as teachers, right? And we have certified teachers. We just graduated a group of 51 new teachers in Asia.
Wow.
Right? And Asia. Wow, so that's very exciting.
Worldwide, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this is like, oh, I'm excited. It's cool. It's a little crazy, but it's cool. So it's, so we have the teachers, though, who people who are, who've trained with me and are certified to teach practitioner, advanced practitioner, all the way up. We have elite certified teachers who work with people at the most advanced levels and assist me in classes as well. So we've got a full range of opportunities for learning. In addition to the books I've written, I've got four books on the Akashic Records. Do you know, I'm into these Audibles. Do you like the Audible?
I do. My son is a huge fan. My wife is a huge fan. I like to read it, but the Audible is really, really good.
The Audible, yeah. Well, do you know what? With this material, what's great about the Audibles is because I lead people through all these different exercises.
Okay, so it is good to have you led through in the Audible, yeah.
So it's really good because, well, I don't know about you, but you know, I would be like reading, and then I put the book down, then I try to say it.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
So it's a much more fluid experience with the Audible. Right. So there's, but you know what? Everybody learns differently. And so there's a lot of different ways to learn. And
that's awesome.
And, you know, people know when it's time for their next step.
Yeah.
Right.
That's great. So the website, lindahowe.com, H-O-W-E. Before I let you go, tell us about your new book. This new book is about manifesting.
Oh. So
what does that mean?
Here's the idea of this book. Everybody. All the people who are attending this summit, I mean, everybody has that thing within that they really want to share with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us have the fear that it's not what the world wants.
Ah.
From an Akashic perspective, we recognize that what you want to give to the world is exactly what our world today needs. And to find, like, one step at a time, if you can step forward a little bit, life will meet you and help you bring it forward. Nice. This is really bringing your soul's purposes to life.
That's beautiful. That's so wonderful. Yeah.
So that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So just a couple things, and then we'll have you kind of give some final words. When you talk about the soul's purpose, do we always fulfill the soul's purpose, or sometimes by choices or free will, maybe we don't get there and we have to relearn in another?
We always fulfill our purpose.
Okay.
Our fundamental, the primary purpose is shared by all humans, and that is to expand our ability to love and respect ourselves, because we're all moving into a state of unconditional self-love. That is the purpose of the soul's journey as human, right? Mm-hmm. So some lifetimes, it looks like we've been real train wrecks. Some lifetimes are like that, right? I mean, you know this. It's like, ay, 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 what happened? Everything went wrong and blah, blah, blah. The question is, can I love myself when I'm a failure?
Mm.
and I treat myself with respect, even though I've made 1,000 mistakes. How do I let myself stay in relationships with others when I know I'm painfully imperfect?
Yeah.
See, the soul's purposes are spiritual. So we want to begin to think about, like, what enables me, what activates that experience of love within me, right? Not what can I get from you.
Right.
Right. And as and we are unique individuals. And so everybody has different ways that they know when they do that thing, when they're involved with that thing, whatever it is, whether it's ice skating, baking, standing on their heads, visiting the neighbors, I don't know what it is, right? It's like, OMG, you know, that the infinite love within is unleashed and we're flooded with it.
Yeah.
That's our soul's purpose.
That's awesome. Well, beautiful.
Yeah, so cannot mess this up.
Yeah.
That's something my grandmother would say.
Yeah, you can't mess it up. So what, and maybe that's your final words of wisdom that you share. You can't mess it up. But what would you quickly, any final parting thoughts or words of wisdom that you have for everybody watching right now? You've been amazing. How would you kind of cap it off? What would you tell them? What do you want to leave them with?
Jill, I just want everyone to know that there's no accidents, right? That you really are supposed to be the human being you are, in the place you are at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And who you are is exactly what the world needs. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect fit. There's precision in the universe. And so just no matter what thoughts or opinions you have about yourself, don't be fooled. You really are much greater than you ever thought you are. And even if you stumble along the way, there's nothing that can damage the love that's at the core of your being.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow. I hope that made everybody feel really, really warm inside. Such beautiful words. Linda, you are amazing. Thank you so much for being with us. It really has been a great learning experience for me, and I know everybody who watched it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. It's great to be here.